Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange, Geico, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
And we are back, baby, in the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Monday underway. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli here in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco is on the line with us from Fort Lauderdale.
Did you really sleep the whole way home last night?
Not the whole way. I mean, I sat by you for a minute.
Yeah.
And wandered around a little bit. And then
out of the 8.5 hours of flight time, how long did you sleep?
3 hours. Probably the last three of the last four.
I slept
four.
5 minutes.
5 minutes?
5 minutes. I was watching tape, and it was the first 30 minutes of the flight. I was watching the All 22, and I got sleepy and closed my eyes for 5 minutes, and then the food came and I ate.
And then it was over. Yeah, because you.
And then I watched. Then I watched tape. The rest of the night.
So I got some.
I'm with you, Tony. I wouldn't have been able to sleep on the plane either.
Yeah, and I was.
You gave me,
yeah, I couldn't. I actually fell. I started falling asleep. Then they brought food, and then, I had to watch the tape.
I'm too antsy to sleep. I would have wanted to watch the tape, and then I know. I'm with you.
Then I watched two movies.
What'd you watch?
You know what I love about international flights is the freedom to watch bad movies, and just because you have nothing else to do. So I watched Second Independence Day. That's a stellar movie.
I heard that's terrible.
What a great plot.
The first one was overrated anyways.
And the second one is, I like bad movies. I mean, if it's an action flick with no plot, nothing to think about, I love those movies, and that stretched me to the nth degree of my – and then I watched another just awful movie. Dave and Mike Need a Wedding Date.
I've never heard of that one.
Oh.
Me either.
Bad movie. But there's nothing else to do.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
I actually tried to sleep after I watched all the tape, but I couldn't.
8.5 hours. Hey, Pete, when are you going to go to London for a game?
Later in life, maybe.
It's a great experience, Pete. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I'd like to do it once.
It is a very cool experience. And I'm not a player, so I don't know. I mean, I don't think the players mind it either. It's really just leaving one day earlier than a West Coast road trip. I mean, it's not
when that. Hey, JP, when I'm done work for CBS and I'm sitting in your seat hosting the show.
Oh, wow.
Shot fired.
You want us both coming at you tonight? We can do that, Pete. You sure about that?
But I love the trip to London. I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's great.
I enjoy it.
It's fantastic, man. It's the weekend of events around it are fantastic.
The fans are great, too, there.
The fans are great. The venue's spectacular.
JP, you hosted that thing all day Saturday, right?
Yeah. 5 hours on Regent Street. Yeah, so big, long street in London from Oxford Circus to Piccadilly Circus is all pedestrian only that day. It's the big, ritzy shopping street.
Yep.
And it's closed down. There's interactive fan games, a main stage on the north end. Where all the active players go for interviews. And then there's a Jaguar stage on the Piccadilly Circus end where all the alumni guys come through. Tony and Jeff and Fred and Kyle Brady was there as well. So I was there throughout the day. The roar was there. I mean, fans are coming through and saying hi. I mean, it was really great weather. I mean, it was perfect.
Was the game sold out?
Yeah.
Yes.
83, almost 84,000, yes.
Because when they show pictures in the crowd, it didn't look like it was full.
Oh, it was full.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Second half, there was a couple empty seats in the upper deck, maybe. A few? No, it was packed.
That's good, though. I mean, it sounds like it's catching on over there, which is a good thing.
And you know what, Pete? The fans are getting smart, too, over there. Like, they are starting to – they understand football. I mean, you get
– So they're different than the fans over here, then.
Well, I didn't say that. That's you.
Yeah. Go ahead. Dig another hole, Pete.
But they – so it was a good
experience. I'm kidding. I love the fans. Fans are so passionate that they get irrational. And there's that word again. But, Tony – they get so off,
crazy,
I mean, so out of whack.
Crazy.
I mean, you've had
out
had
of whack Twitter. Now. That isn't that saying they're crazy if someone's out of whack.
You've had your little give and take with the fans recently on Twitter. I've noticed them.
Yeah, right. I mean, listen, I'm just stand for the truth, Pete. I just like to tell the truth.
Okay, you asked me data. Scooter played in the first game. He played 18 snaps.
Leo,
how many snaps you think?
Leo.
How many snaps you think Miles played yesterday?
I would say 32.
He played 23, so not much different.
And by the way, he plays zero Leo, and Scooter played Leo in the first two games. Backup Leo.
Yeah, I don't know how much Leo he played because this doesn't break it down. But
he played. I don't think outside of goal line, he was not in any there was no base defense in Green Bay at all, and I think 5 or 6 snaps in San Diego.
Well, and that's, you know, that's the way the league is now. If you're the third linebacker, you're not going to be on the field that much. I get it, but he still should have been on the field before Scuda in any form or fashion. That's just my point. What do you do with him, though, if he starts playing? It's almost like you have a problem now. If he starts playing really, really well, you can't take Telvin off the field.
Telvin's playing great, and Puz is playing great.
Right, so what do you do with him?
You play him in base, and I don't know. I mean, it's a good problem to have, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, Tony, and I didn't watch the 22, but it looked like from the TV tape they walked him out a bunch of times in coverage.
Yeah, because he gives you that freedom to do that. Because one of the things in the defense that can be a weakness, if they go slot receiver, two receivers to one side to the strength and they're in zone, cover three, it forces that Sam or Otto linebacker to walk out on the number two receiver. Well, you don't want to be in that defense if Scoot is there. If Miles Jack is there, you're okay with him having to walk out on that inside receiver and play zone principles from that standpoint because he's so good in space. So,
It looked like from the TV they played a lot of zone. Is that right?
No.
No?
I bet you 70% man because – and this is how you knew they were man yesterday. When they were man, Jalen Ramsey tracked T.Y. Hilton. So wherever T.Y. went, he went. Even if he was in the slot, he would go to the slot receiver. If they were in zone, Telvin would be outside. I mean, not Telvin. Jalen would be outside.
Right.
And wouldn't be
– like on the touchdown pass, that was a zone they busted, right?
There was a bust, a communication error. And Todd Walsh took the blame, I believe, yesterday or this morning. I read it somewhere.
I read that. Yep.
That it was a late call onto the field, and so there was a confusion of what coverage they were in between Telvin and Gibson. And so this is why I don't know if I blame – Todd Walsh might just be covering the players here because they had the exact same bust in the first half, and Andrew Luck missed it.
Right, and because Ramsey came off his guy and jumped
same
on
thing.
The underneath route.
So,
yeah.
So – I know Todd Walsh took the bullet for everybody for the touchdown.
But it wasn't the only time.
But it wasn't the only one. I'm just wondering.
Well, because I remember watching that play, Tony, and I'm thinking, okay, if I'm a team down the road, I'm coming back to that because he comes off and comes off his guy and leaves the post.
Yeah,
and
but so he's not either. I don't know who's supposed to do what.
It looks like Gibson.
But either Gibson has to carry the post and Telvin jumps the out route. Or Telvin, Jalen carries the post, and Gibson jumps the out. One of the two, but you can't both jump the out.
Yeah, it looked like Gibson was jumping the out route, and Jalen was supposed to jump inside and carry the post, but he didn't.
It was a bust somewhere, but Jalen Ramsey, take the bust away, absolutely shut down when he was in man coverage on T.Y. Hilton.
T.Y. Hilton's numbers, 7 catches, 42 yards,
and a lot of those. And by the way, a lot of those 7 catches were in zone.
Yeah.
A lot. Underneath crossing routes. He got a scramble. It was the touchdown where he got lost in the zone. I'm telling you, because I keyed on Jalen during the game and then also watched all 22. Pete shut down dominant corner style play. It was really fun to watch.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch it. Like I said, I watched the TV tape today over, they just looked like a faster defense yesterday to me.
They played fast, but they played fast in Baltimore too. They've been playing fast the last two weeks.
Yeah, but even more so yesterday, particularly for the first half, they looked faster.
The second half they had just a couple busts is all that was. And I'll say, and listen, Andrew Luck's a good player. I mean, he's going to scramble around. A lot of his plays are scrambles, making things happen. A guy no one's talking about who played great again this week, played great last week, because we've talked a lot about Dante and Ngakoue and Jalen and Telvin and Puz and how great all those guys are playing, and they are. But Malik Jackson is playing at a super high level. I know the sack numbers aren't there and all that stuff, but go watch the tape, Pete, again, how he affects the quarterback, how he plays the run, and how – for a guy making $90 million plus on this contract, chases things down away from the play. This is not a veteran who has mailed it in and is happy to be collecting a paycheck.
No.
The guy is playing elite defensive tackle football right now.
I'll give you another guy that caught my eye just on the TV tape, and that was in the brief time he was on the field with Sheldon Day. Made some good plays.
Sheldon Day needs more reps. He's not. Sendarek is much better than Sheldon against the run. Because Sendarek plays the run really well. Sheldon has more of a burst right now, those young legs. Got to get him on the field and third down more.
And getting the young corner on the field was a smart thing, too.
It's going to be interesting this week at corner.
Yes, it is.
It's going to be very interesting. We'll talk about that coming back.
Yeah, we'll come back and go on the offensive side, too, and break down Blake Bortles' day. Calling all Jacksonville runners, don't miss the Stash Dash 5K at Everbank Field. That's Saturday, October 15th. Registration includes race entry and a ticket to the Jags-Raiders game. Sign up today at jaguars.com/stash-dash. Little offense, Bortles talk, your calls in the second hour tonight. We're back with a W. The Jags are 1-3, and it's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I heard it didn't even make it in the stands, so I was trying to give somebody from London an American football. They've probably never seen one or held one, so I wanted to give somebody that opportunity.
It wasn't a tip towards soccer being played here.
No. If anything, it was an embarrassment towards soccer because it wasn't a very good kick.
There's quarterback Blake Bortles discussing his punt into the stands at Wembley after his rushing touchdown in the second quarter. Welcome back. Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco, your calls in the second hour tonight. We'll get back to the defensive talk coming up, too. But the offense had a pretty solid day. Blake Bortles.
We're not gonna pay off the tees of the corner stuff. Or you want to do that later?
Let's do it later. We got two hours, man. Unless you guys want to call it corner now.
I was doing radio. I'm trying to do good radio. A little tease. Bring them back.
I mean, you could just follow the entire show that I already have pre-done. I mean, yeah, whatever's fine. I mean,
what do you think, Pete? What do you want to do?
Let's talk offense, and then we'll go back to
it. We'll come back to the corner.
Thank you. We overruled you. That's fine.
It's not overrule.
Yeah, I think that's what that was.
God, you're just such a...
Let's go. Blake Bortles, 207 yards, two touchdowns passing, one on the ground, rating 96.4. You know, managed the game, didn't turn the ball over. That's the key for Blake yesterday. And overall, Pete, you know, some decisions probably could have been better for Blake, but overall managed them to a win yesterday.
Yeah, but you're not going to win a lot of games playing that way.
What are you talking about? You're not going to win
a lot of games when the quarterback throws for 200 yards. You're just not.
Really? Interesting.
You're not.
They had the run game going finally.
What's Green Bay's record?
I know, but.
What's Green Bay's record?
Tony, he threw for 200 whatever yards against Detroit, but he had 200 in the first half. I mean, okay.
He had under 200 against us. He had under 200 against us.
Okay, take away the long touchdown pass to Hearns, and he has 145 yards passing.
Okay, take away the long ones Aaron Rodgers had against us, and he has 140 yards passing.
Well, okay, but you're not going to win consistently that way in the NFL. Okay. You think that's a good way to win with that?
Broncos are 4-0.
Simeon threw for 320 yards on the road
one
last
game.
Week against
one
the Bengals
game.
and four touchdown passes.
One game.
And do you see a defense in Jacksonville that's a lot like Denver's defense? Because I sure as hell don't.
Close. We're coming.
Oh, Tony. Tony, did you just say that Jacksonville's defense is close to Denver's?
Hey, listen, I think we're ninth overall in yards right now, giving up.
Wait, did you just say Jacksonville's defense is close to Denver?
I was being facetious, you idiot. Of course not. Okay. Denver's defense is at another level.
In a year or two.
Possibly. Maybe. They got talent. They got a lot of talent.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny that. That young talent is very good. They have a chance to be special on defense. I'm not going to deny that.
I thought Blake Blake played pretty good.
Average.
Not great. No, I thought it was pretty good. No turnovers, good decisions. He missed a long one to A-Rob, which would have been an extra 50 yards right there. He missed a crossing to on a big third down late to Marquise. So,
yes.
I think in a perfect world, you want Blake throwing for 250. I don't think this team's built right now for him to be throwing for over 300 yards. In fact, they've never won a game when he throws for over 300 yards.
Well, how many times have they won games when they've rushed for 150? They haven't won a lot of games, period, when he's been under center. Come on.
No, but they've won zero when he's over 300 yards, Pete. Zero. None.
Okay, well, how many games have they won – when they rush for 150 yards as a team.
I'll say this. I'll say this. I don't know how many times they've rushed for 150 yards.
But
they've won more. They've won more than they've won when he's thrown over 300.
Well, we'll look it up. Take away the quarterback scrambles, and we'll.
That's part of the. Oh, those don't count now.
No, those are accidents. Those don't count.
Those are accidents.
I thought he.
I love
pass,
how you make stuff up. I thought Blake Bortles played pretty good.
I thought it was average, but the last pass was going to be a big play
Marquise on the crossing.
Got batted down at the line.
It didn't get batted down. He went to Brian Walters instead of.
No, not that one. The one that got batted down when they were trying to kill the clock on with the 4-minute offense. Remember?
Oh yeah, that was third down. Yes.
Yes, that was Marquise Lee. Looked like on the TV tape, he was clearing in the middle for what could have been a big play.
Right. Yep.
True?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, then he went to Walters and he skipped it. What was that? It looked like he short-armed it or something.
That's the one that Marquise was on an ex-shallow crossing route.
Yeah,
and
it
was
I
wide
saw that
open.
One. He was open.
It was the wrong read, I think.
Yeah, and Marquise had another play that looked like on the TV where he was open near the goal line and he didn't throw it to him. Well, Marquise was complaining. They blasted turns or something, and Marquise was complaining about it, but he was open. He missed a couple, but it wasn't awful. It was okay.
The only thing I will, and this isn't even a criticism. It's more of a, I was thinking about it last night watching. Thought about it today. We sure don't see as many balls pressed down the field or big plays out of the passing offense so far this year like we did last year.
No, almost none.
That's just interesting because Blake was pretty good. Blake was pretty good at that last year.
Why was Ben in the game so much yesterday? I know they used him.
Because they had one. They had one tight end.
He had a really good block.
They had one tight end, Pete.
So I know. Well, what, when Mercedes went out there?
Yeah, they had one tight end. So all of a sudden you're moved tight end now, and Neil Sterling becomes your in-line tight end, and you need somebody to play that move position. It was Ben.
He actually had a good block on one.
Yeah, no, he can do it now. He's physical. He is a big dude. So that was, it was personnel a little bit, and they had some different things they wanted to do with him.
Because they were going to use – it looked like early in the game they were going to use Omame at the tackle, and then when –
No, Omame was the came in as the sixth offensive lineman because they only had two tight ends up. And so when they wanted to go –
that's what I mean. He's extra tight end tackle, whatever he is, yeah.
But that was for their three tight end package.
Right, and then he came – then when he had to go in and play left out, he actually did a good job on a TV tape. I don't know if he did.
He played – he had one early pressure he gave up, but other than that, I thought he played very well.
Yeah, I thought so too. Just from the TV tape, he looked like he played well. It looked like Linder had a pretty good game again.
Linder's good.
It looked like Beecham had his best game.
Well, Beecham's a natural pass blocker.
And it looked like Parnell had his best game.
Parnell played well too. They played well up front. Yeah. I mean, they ran the ball. I thought Greg Olsen did a great job of tailoring the run game more to what obviously they're more comfortable doing, and I think it fits the backs a little bit better. They still ran some outside zone, some stretch, but it was more downhill, getting double teams and trying to, bubble the inside of that Colts defense. And they had some success doing that, running more north and south.
Yeah, it wasn't as much wide.
No, there wasn't as much outside wide zone.
Zone, outside zone, which we talked about last week, that's something they needed to cut down on.
And they did.
By the way,
so give them credit.
The answer to your question, 150 yards or better four times when Bortles been the quarterback rushing yardage. The Jags are 3-1 in those games.
Yeah, that sounds like a much better record to me.
Yeah, and how many of those are 150 rushing without him getting 50 of them?
Well,
We're
not going to play this game. No, when you run zone read, that's not an accident. That's part of their game plan.
Well, you have to go back and watch the play-by-play, but how many of them are
So let me ask you a question. So in 96, in maybe arguably the biggest game of the Denver playoff victory, when Brunell scrambled to pick up a big first, that was an accident. All the times that Steve Young scrambles and make plays. Accident when Aaron Rodgers runs around buying time and scrambling?
No.
That's not an accident.
He's scrambling to throw.
He never scrambles and runs it. He always throws it?
Yeah, no, he doesn't always throw, but when he runs it, that's a negative.
Listen, you can't admit when you are just making stuff up to fit to fit your stupid narrative.
Hey, you know what? Brunell even admitted he might have missed his number one read on that play against Denver.
I know. I hate that 45-yard run was terrible. Let's take it back. Come back, Mark. Stop. Don't do it.
Yeah, because there's nothing like counting on a quarterback running for 45 yards all the time.
It's part of the game. I know Steve McNair never killed us running the ball. Never.
Oh, yeah, he did.
It was an accident. You shouldn't do that, Steve. Stay in the pocket. Pete doesn't like it. Those yards don't count. Pete, come on, man. You're better than this.
No, they're accidents. You can't count those as rushing yards.
Oh, you can't.
I mean, you can statistically, but that's not establishing the run, Tony, is it? Is that establishing the run?
Were we talking about?
The running backs combined for 100 yards yesterday, Pete.
Were we talking about? Let's move on, because right now he is so dense and he's looking.
No, I'm not. You're dense. You're dense. Is when you say establish the run as being a key to winning a game, is a quarterback scrambling for 20 yards
did that,
is that establishing
did that
run?
First of all, that sentence never came out of my mouth, that establish the run. I just said they're better when they run the ball for more yardage than historically they've been when Blake throws for over 300 yards. That's all I said. And that's an accurate – that's a fact. Again, proof.
What
proof.
Usually, well, take away the – you can prove it to me if they rush for 150 yards without the quarterback scrambles. Then I'll believe you.
Move on, JP. This is getting nonsensical.
We'll take a timeout and go back to the defensive side. And what will they do about the cornerback situation? Aaron Colvin
there
back.
We go. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have to make a roster move at some point. The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. Live on 1010XL and on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars app, it's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Got to work each and every day when you're in practice. Like I said, I feel like the whole defensive line, we're getting closer and gelling together, and that's what's helping us, you know, making a play. Not just me and Dante, we still got Sam, Malik, them guys that are pushing the pocket real great.
There's Yannick Ngakoue, had the interception early that set up a short field for the Jags for their opening touchdown. And in general, they harassed Andrew Luck throughout the day. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Pass rush was there. 6 sacks of Luck yesterday.
You know what's fun about the pass rush, especially about Ngakoue and Fowler? They're just scratching the surface of what they can do, especially Fowler because he's so raw. Ngakoue has some better moves. He's more refined, but he's still a rookie. Those two, they continue to work, put the time in off the field and the focus and the study and the technique. They could be quite a tandem for a long time. Really good.
I thought Ngakoue, when he used his hands to go around the tackle.
Costanzo.
That was Costanzo. That's where he's a little more advanced than Tony, than what Fowler could do right now.
He's more refined in his pass rush moves. You're exactly right, Pete.
Yeah, that was nice. That looked like a pro. I mean, bend and everything. He had to bend around the corner.
But Fowler has freaky ability. Just knows not how to use it yet.
No, they're good. That's something that they got to be thrilled about, is to have two young pass rushers like that. I mean, that's, you know, and they're going to, like you said, they're going to get better and better. That defense has a chance to be truly, truly special. I mean, when you think about it, they could. You got Jack, you have Ramsey. I mean, those are two young. I mean, that's good defensive players.
Yeah, all three levels. Yep.
That's what I said. Ramsey, Day,
Jack,
Jack,
Telvin Smith,
Ngakoue, Telvin. But right now, they're getting better.
Well, they're much better. They are much better than they were last year so far. They still got to get – they get in trouble with – they have just breakdowns. They have the big play breakdown that they need to work on. But overall, they're a much better unit. But JB talked about
–
what'd you say?
They have busts.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Bad busts. The big thing is this week – Aaron Colvin's off his 4-game suspension from the league.
Yeah, he's ready to roll, sounds like.
I think there's going to be major changes in the secondary. Obviously,
what do you mean by major
What
changes?
Do you think?
Well, I think Grotz is probably going to
– He's getting cut, isn't he?
I think so. I mean, he was inactive yesterday, healthy scratch. Josh Johnson is not the prototypical defensive back or corner that Gus and Todd Walsh want. But all he does is make plays and plays hard.
Made the play on fourth down
and
yesterday.
And he's scrappy. He's just one of those guys who just goes. You know, I'm not, I mean, Is he? Do you want him to be one of your front line guys? Probably not. But as a guy who can fill in at nickel or the flexibility that he has, special teams ability as well. I mean, I think he's a nice young player. I just think Grotz is going to be the odd man out. But even beyond that, Pete, you now have four corners. You have Prince, and let's assume they're all healthy, Ramsey, House, Colvin. Only three play nickel. Who's out? Who's the fourth corner?
Well, okay, so how do you start it next week?
Well, you know for sure.
Well, Ramsey's,
Ramsey's on the field.
Right.
So I'm going to ask you before I tell you my opinion.
Amu Amara's got to stay on the field.
Okay, who are the top – what are your top three corners? Who's the fourth?
Wow.
Colvin.
Nope.
Who do you make the fourth?
Devon House.
Well, okay. Oh, you're putting – so you're making it Amu Amara, Colvin.
On first down.
Ramsey.
First down, Ramsey. It's Ramsey and Amu Amara. First and second down base.
And then the
nickel
is who?
Colvin comes
Colvin.
In.
Colvin. Right. So, yeah, you might sit House down.
Yeah, he's the fourth corner.
Yeah.
Which means he has to then be a special teams guy.
That's a big change.
Big change.
Well, they have to make a roster move, so you would think if Grotz was inactive, he's going to be the one.
I think he's the odd man out.
Right.
That's what I think. But I think Devon House is going to go from starting to finding himself at the four corner.
Right.
Say that again.
So – busted draft pick then.
Third round pick 4 years ago and a draft that – Pete, that was
–
Pete, let me ask you a question. Wait a second. I don't think it's a bust. Wasn't that one of the worst drafts in the history of the NFL?
It was a bad draft.
So you get 4 years out of a guy? 3.5 years?
I mean, you like, not 4 years. That's a third round pick.
I said three and a half years.
All right. Well, it's still – that's not a – that's a bust.
Yeah,
you
I don't know.
You can't – called anything else but a bust.
In most drafts, I'd agree with you. It'd be interesting to look back at that draft and see how many third rounders are still in the league.
Okay, well, here, I'll give you the third rounders in that draft. You ready?
Yep.
Travis Kelce.
Good player.
Then Grotz. Larry Warford.
I have no idea.
Starts.
For who?
C.O. Moore, who's now on the Colts.
C.O. Moore is a decent player.
Benny Logan. Honey Badger.
Okay, we take him.
T.J. McDonald.
Okay.
Brian Winters.
Good
starts
player.
Starts for the Jets at guard. Glennon. Terrence Williams starts at wide receiver. Terran Armstead. Keenan Allen.
Terran Armstead, the left tackle for the Saints?
Yeah.
Marquise
Goodwin.
A lot of people missed on him, didn't they, Pete?
Yeah. Marcus Wheaton. J.J. Wilcox, who starts at safety for the Cowboys.
All right.
He's going through
point well
Logan
taken.
Ryan.
That's fair.
Logan Ryan.
Point well taken.
Jordan Reed. Okay, so
I just said I'm with you. There's a lot of guys. Maybe the third round should have been the first round in that draft.
Yeah, well, right. Good point.
They're all the fields. Too.
Great third round. Holy cow, there's some good players in that third round. How they not go in the first? Because that first round doesn't have that many good players.
No, that first round was terrible.
So I think it's interesting. So that you're going to see – well, heck, you go back to that first draft. How many guys are going to be contributing on the field from that first draft? You got the Jokel.
How bad is Jokel's injury? How bad is Jokel's injury?
They haven't reported anything
Nothing
yet.
Official today. Gus talks tomorrow and is expected to get
an
official.
He got rolled up on. You could tell. You could see he got –
No, just the way he came off the field with
help. It did not look good.
No.
It did not look good on the tape. It did not look good how he came off the field and never returned. None of it looked good.
It was Can that rolled on him, right?
Kind of whipped around, yeah. I'll say this, and there's no official word. If they're playing this week, I don't think there'd be any chance he'd be playing this week, would be my guess.
No, but you don't think it's season-ending or anything like that?
I don't know.
Well, you asked about that draft, their draft? That means the next time they take the field, if Joe goes not on the field, he won't be on the field. Cyprian will be. Grotz won't be on the team, I don't think. Sanders is long gone. Denard Robinson's a
special teams player.
Josh Evans, no. Jeremy Harris and Demetrius McCray. So they got the only contributor right now, as is, who's actually contributing on that team aside from special teams is Jonathan Cyprian.
If Joe Cole is out.
Right. It was a bad draft all the way around, don't get me wrong, but that was a bad draft.
Let's come back. We'll go through the injury report, what we do know of a couple of injuries yesterday. And coming up, your phone calls. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We continue on Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
I know it wasn't the cleanest game of football, especially on our side, but we talked about being aggressive, especially in the run game. We felt offensively we need to get that going, and I felt like we were more aggressive up front. You know, the double teams, we got more to, you know, a scheme that we felt like would work for our personnel. And, you know, on the offensive side, we had some injuries, so we had to adjust. So just appreciate the guys kind of learning on the run there.
There's head coach Gus Bradley at Wembley yesterday after the Jags win 30-27 final over the Indianapolis Colts. Jags are now 2-2 at Wembley Stadium. They'll be playing a game there each season through the 2020 campaign as of right now. And all thoughts are that it should be extended beyond that. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars Monday continues. Also, if you're watching on Jaguars.com or the Jags app, coming up at 7 o'clock tonight, Jaguars All Access. Carson Tinker is the special guest tonight with Jeff Loggeman and Sam Kavara. So check that out. That'll be right here if you're watching the video portion of this. If you're on radio, hey, we're with you for another hour and 15 minutes, and your calls are coming up as well. So let's get to the injury report. A couple of, nothing official from the Jags today, but the team did update Mercedes Lewis with a hip pointer injury. Came out of the game yesterday. Was trying to ride the bike.
I'll say what. I give Dirk Neil Sterling credit. It wasn't perfect, but I think the kid has a chance to be a good player. He is a willing blocker. He needs to work on technique a lot and get a little bit stronger, but he's a tough kid, and I think he has a chance to be pretty good. And he had to come in. They were down to one tight end when Mercedes got hurt. They only had two active. It limited what they could do, and I thought the entire offensive staff, Greg Olsen, called the game around that beautifully.
And
he's not strong enough to block yet.
Not yet. You know what? He's a tough guy, Pete. He gets in there. He sticks his face in there. He tries. Which, as you know, is half the battle.
Let me ask you one thing. On the play where he released the defensive end,
he's supposed to hold him a longer count. It's a tight end screen to him. He just went too quick. That's a play that Mercedes is really good at and has gotten some big yardage.
Is that the one that's the one he had the big play against Green Bay on, right?
That's right. And he was just too quick. He just timing was off.
Knee sprain for Tashaun Gibson. And he was in and out of the game yesterday. And, of course, no official status from the team on Luke Jokel, but just the way he came off the field, looking back at it, not a good thing, no doubt.
The way the injury happened, the way he tried to stand up and immediately went down, and the fact that he was helped off into the locker room.
Yeah, his reaction when he went back down, too.
Frustrated. Yeah. And head down into the locker room, and we never saw him again. Does not give me much hope. I hope the best, but it doesn't.
It didn't look like an ACL or something, though, Tony. The way the knee gave, it wasn't like one of those where.
I don't know.
Didn't look that way.
No, I don't know.
It didn't look that way. But let me ask you this: if it's an ACL, is that the end of him in Jacksonville?
That's a good question, Pete. Tony?
You didn't sign him for his fifth year, so he's a free agent.
Right.
I don't know because, and I hate this for him, if it's the worst case scenario, what kind of market is it going to be out there for him? And maybe you can get him for a 1 or 2 year deal at the right price and bring him back as a guard because I thought he was playing good guard. I thought the games that he has played guard so far, I thought he did a good job. And before he got hurt in this game, he was doing a very good job. So you hate it for him, but in the business side of it, it might be an opportunity to get a player back at a discount as he proves that he's back to healthy and shows he gets back up to the level that, you know, he was showing early in the season at guard.
This is just like a Kelvin Beecham scenario last year, right?
Very similar.
Yeah, I mean, he had that in week 6 last year and a little bit of a discount this year to see if he can do it, and then the big money would kick in next year.
I get the impression, Tony, you think it's bad, though.
Why do you say that?
It's just the way you're talking. I'm putting two and two together to get four.
Well, you're always have been very good at math, Pete, but I don't know. I don't know. I mean, they haven't reported it. As I know, we're inside the building and we're part of the broadcast, but they don't tell us anything that they typically don't tell the media.
You hurt your knee that when you were in, what, first year, right?
Well, I dislocated my kneecap, yeah, and had a cartilage issue that I get scoped out.
Wasn't that Lagerman's fault?
Yes, Lagerman on a soaking wet, rainy field decides this could do bull rush in one-on-one pass rush, and my feet just slid out from underneath me, and my knee went in a very awkward position, and my kneecap decided to leave the vicinity of where it belonged.
And then they flew him back on the team plane, the private plane.
Wasn't the team plane. It was Wayne's plane.
Yeah, it was Wayne's plane.
Yeah. It was good to be the first. It was good to be the first pick.
Yeah, darn right it was. But so you can't tell. You couldn't tell. It just looked to me like he got his leg, not maybe got his leg out of there, not where it wasn't as bad. But I don't.
Watching the tape, it didn't look good. But
no.
You never know. You know, maybe it's just an MCL and he's back in, you know, 4 weeks. I mean, you really don't know.
Amame went in there. He looked like he was pretty good, pretty tough.
He's a physical guy. Now
he's been around a little bit, right?
People forget he started over 30 games in this league. I mean, it's not like it's his first rodeo.
Right, but I just thought he'd go in there and wouldn't be. He was physical. I was impressed.
He is a physical human being. He's strong. Like I said, he gave one pressure early. But overall, I thought he came in off the bench and played very well. And I think if Luke is hurt for any extended period of time, I think he'll do a good job.
When are we going to do PFF grades?
We can do those when we get back,
yeah,
if you'd like.
Let's do it.
Let's take our time out. We'll come back. The second hour underway. Again, if you're watching on Jaguars.com and the Jags app, Jaguars All Access is coming up at 7 o'clock right here and on Channel 4. We'll come back with your calls. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. PFF grades as well. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
You know, obviously the situation and the circumstances, this one is big, is good. We're excited about it. We'll celebrate it. And it feels good, you know, to go through a week of preparation, to come over here, to handle some different things, you know, with a flight and a long flight and do some different stuff and come out and still win, handle adversity well. I thought there was ups and downs throughout the game, but we stayed consistent. We never went too low, and we're able to win.
There's your quarterback, Blake Bortles. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco, the second hour underway. Your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Mr. Prisco, you want to do some PFF grades here, Pro Football Focus. Were they up early on Sunday for the London game? Pete, are you there? Pete is gone.
Pete left us.
I don't know where Pete went. We'll try to grab Pete when he comes back. So I guess we won't
come on, Hollywood.
Grades.
Hollywood in there is talking, not paying attention behind the glass.
Max Hockman, video producer, but we're not on video. So we'll try to get Pete back here whenever we get Pete back. How about some phone calls? Any lines? 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's start off with Brian in Fort Caroline. Brian, good evening. You're on the air.
This is going great. Pete won't talk to us. Brian's not paying attention. What else is going to go wrong?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up? What you got?
Pete, I got to agree with you, Pete. You're totally right. This team can't go on playing just average, mediocre football and continue to win and be at the level where they need to be. When they start stringing wins together, then I think the fan base will be a little more excited about a win. We've seen this team play and win games here and there. I mean, big deal. They've won one out of four so far. When they start stringing the games together, then the fan base will feel more comfortable. It was a good win.
Brian, you're miserable. You're not going to enjoy a win right out in the next 24 hours after it happens? You're not going to enjoy it.
Tony, we've been drudged through the mud for so long.
Brian, then enjoy it. Be miserable tomorrow again, or at least enjoy it for the bye week. I mean, they won a football game against a divisional opponent. The first time in 14 games that Andrew Luck has lost to a divisional opponent.
And guess what? The division is 3-1 Texans, everybody else at 1-3, and somehow I think the Jags are officially in second place with all the tiebreakers, right? And you're 1-0 in the division.
And none of that matters. I mean, overall, they won a football game. They've lost two games by less than by one by two and one by four in the last minutes of each game. And they have a bunch of young, exciting players. They played well. They won a football game. And you're miserable. And you call me to be miserable. I'm tired. I'm jet lagged. And I don't need you being miserable.
There was one thing I was wrong about, and that was Seth Myers, the field goal kicker.
His name's Jason Myers.
I thought he wasn't going to do well. He's done well so far.
So that's the only thing you've been wrong about. So everything else, you're dead on, Brian. Everything else, you've got nailed. Okay.
I'm like you. I'm always right.
No, you're not. You're already wrong, Brian, because you're miserable. People say I'm grumpy. You're being miserable. How can you not enjoy a win?
I don't know. Yeah, well, I mean,
it's one of my pet peeves. Have you ever read that Monday morning quarterback thing in the paper?
No.
They let people write in, and all they are is win or lose complaints.
Now, I will
– and Twitter is no different. No, I mean, they just complain.
Even worse.
Complain.
Well,
like, come
so,
on.
I can kind of see where his mindset would be, though. You know what? Prove it again next time. That's the thing this organization hasn't done the last
Fine.
Few years, right?
But guess what? Say, you know what? That was fun to watch a win. It was a good win against a divisional opponent. Now the next step is they got to prove it and do it 2 weeks in a row. If that was Brian's point and that's what he said, I would have said, I agree with you 100%. I'm going to enjoy this one, and it's a bye week, so I got some extra time to enjoy it. But ultimately, they got to win. They got to string and stack some wins on top of each other if they want to do anything. Yeah. Losing next week or in 2 weeks is not an option. That game is just as important to get to 2-3.
Let's,
Tony, you're getting all worked up about that.
Well, did you listen?
I heard him. He's not enjoying it because he doesn't believe that there's going to be a couple more. That's why.
But Pete, my whole point is if you're not going to enjoy the wins, I mean, I'll equate it back to at times what drove me crazy about Coach Coughlin, who I love and respect, great coach. But there was times we would win, and because it wasn't perfect, it would still be miserable and everyone would be mad because, you know, we won, but it wasn't perfect. And it bothers me even more because I found myself becoming like that coaching high school football. Even though we win, I still get mad at everybody. And that's no way to live. So it's not just Brian I'm mad at. I'm mad at myself, and I'm mad at you, Pete, because let's enjoy the win for a little bit.
I didn't say – what am I saying? I'm just picking a point. I got to be – the voice of reason here is you wave your pom-poms.
How have I waved my pom-poms today?
Every week you wave your pom-poms.
I waved my pom-poms last week. I did. I must have missed that show.
Let's get to the grades now that we're back. I'm sort of back because I'm on the phone, but let's get to the grades.
What happened to your connection?
I could hear everything you guys were saying, but you couldn't hear me.
Yeah, it was a beautiful. It was really good.
That's frustrating.
Yeah, it is. We're glad to have you back, though. Let's go Pro Football Focus grades. What do you got?
All right, let's go through the offense. Ready?
Yep.
There were 1, 2, 3 players who graded in the green as good in the game. 3 offensive players.
Boy, I'd have had more than that. T.J. Yeldon's one for sure.
I thought he was really good, and they ranked him just below the green. But
well,
right
that's
there.
Idiotic. We're done. I don't want it. The guy was dominant, running the ball, catching the ball in the backfield, great blocking. He played great football, and if they're not going to give him a green, I refuse to participate in the rest of this.
No, we are participating.
No, I'm not.
Go ahead.
I'm done.
Give me the other 3.
Go ahead, JP. I'm done. That's stupid. That makes no sense. How are you not going to give that guy a green?
That's the exercise. Is for you to disagree with them. That's what makes it good, Tony. Go ahead. Let's go. Give me 3 others.
Well, I just gave one. Let me give you Brandon Linder.
Yes. No. Not in the green.
You should see this guy.
Honestly,
right now.
He's not in the green? Okay.
I'm with you on the Yeldon. That didn't make any sense.
How's Yeldon not in the green?
I don't know.
It's
I don't
like the
get
easiest
that. Yeah,
one.
That one. I thought it was. I thought that might have been, even though the yards weren't his best. I thought that might have been his best game.
He played outstanding.
He had a little pass pro there too.
Oh, like great! Great. Other, had huge fourth down conversion on a out of the backfield.
Not Linder.
Kelvin Beachum.
Beachum for sure.
Parnell.
Parnell. Yes, both of those. Parnell is the highest rated offensive lineman. You agree?
I thought he played very well. I might have Might have given it. I thought all three of those guys played well. Beecham, Linder.
And Omame is in the green.
Omame, when he was in there. So Alan Hearns wasn't in the green for the a great game-winning touchdown?
Yeah. No, he's not.
When the Colts run skates in the secondary there.
Okay.
Let's go to the
T.J. Yeldon.
Terrible player.
Terrible.
Bad game.
Once again, they don't do their homework because they watch the TV copy and don't know really what's going on. But go ahead.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys in the green on defense.
If Jalen Ramsey's not in the green, I will walk off the set right now of the show.
He's not.
What are you talking about?
Jalen Ramsey wasn't in the green?
Nope, not in the green.
How?
Because of one bust? Because of a bust coverage?
I guess. Not the green.
Oh, Tony's gone. He put
the highest
headset.
Rated guy.
Tony put the headset highest. Down. He walked off the set.
No, he didn't.
He's totally walking out of the room right now, Pete. He's walking.
All right, well, the highest rated player was Malik Jackson.
He just threw his hat at me.
He's an angry man.
Malik Jackson.
The highest rated player was Malik Jackson, JP. The next highest rated was Josh Johnson. The next highest rated was Sheldon Day. Then
Sheldon Day had like 10 plays.
Then, but he had in his plays, he had actually, you know how many? He had 17 plays. Dante Fowler is in the green, and Miles Jack is in the green. So, and Ngakoue, not in the green with his game.
That's with an interception and a sack and all this stuff he did.
So,
and a fumble recovery.
And that's right.
So Miles Jack, who had two busts on the backside. That led to big runs.
He let Frank Gore get out the back door.
Okay, but Jalen Ramsey, who has an assignment to chase around one of the top receivers in football and play man press on him all day, and basically shuts him down, and he gets not in the green. You know what?
Nope.
They don't know what they're talking about.
There's two guys in the red, two defensive players deep in the red. Not deep, but. Yeah, pretty deep in the red. Who would they be?
Cyprian.
No.
Devon House.
Tony, who? Devon House, yes.
And I don't know who else played bad.
Alu.
No.
Tyson had a sack, too.
He had a sack. He played good football.
They gave him a big minus in run game.
Really?
Okay.
All right, they must have been up too early. To be paying attention to this game.
What were they watching the game on, like live streaming on their phones? Is that what they
Wait
did?
Wait a minute,
the tape
they're from
of?
England, aren't they?
They should have been there.
I knew Tony would get worked up. He actually walked off the set today. Huh?
He walked out the door. Then he turned around and he threw his hat across the set at me. I don't know why.
Tony, I'm with you 100% on Ramsey and Yeldon. I mean, there's no way those guys should not be in the group. Yeldon, I thought that was the best Yeldon play.
If that's not winning football, what is?
Don't know. I don't know how to grade. I don't know where you would grade.
Nobody knows. First, I'm not going to get into this. It gives me a headache.
That's why we do it, is to get you fired up every week.
It works.
But the fact that House's numbers are red and not playing that well, that kind of leads me to believe that you're on the right path there about who's going to start at corner and who's going to sit down.
Yeah, I mean, I just watching, I know how they love Colvin. It's a nickel, especially what he can do in the run game and the blitz game. Prince is playing high-level football. Obviously, Jalen Ramsey, even though PFF thinks he stinks. I mean, I think those are your three best corners.
Yeah, that's interesting. That'll be an interesting one. They've sat him down before, but this one seems like it'll be one where they sit him down and he ain't going to play that much.
Well, how much time does your fourth corner get?
Not a lot. Not a lot.
But you never know the attrition that goes on the next few weeks. That could all change.
There's injuries and everything else. You never know. I mean, you're exactly right about that, JP. You have no idea. So let's go to break. Let's come back and do some calls. I want more calls.
Yeah, let's take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll try to get Pete back on the regular line.
That'd be nice.
And we'll continue with Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
each and every win is a big win, you know. So, one, because it's our first, but, you know, even more because it's an AFC South opponent, you know. So I think that's the biggest thing. You know, we always hear Gus preaching about owning the AFC South, you know, and I think it started today, and we were able to get it done.
Allen Robinson was dominating Cromartie early in that game. Yeah, that's his comments at Wembley yesterday after the Jags got a 30-27 win over the Colts. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco, we believe, is back with us on the line now. Are you there, Pete?
I'm here.
Hey, technology. We like it.
Yeah, it's unbelievable when it works, right?
It really is. So let's get to the phone lines again. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Sean is in Orange Park. Good evening, Sean.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yes, what's up?
Hey, I'd just like to say go Jags. We finally won a game. I think if we consistently win some more games, we'll definitely get the fan base up again. The reason I called, I'd like to actually agree with Tony earlier in the show about this team's balance on offense. If they establish a run with T.J. Yeldon and Chris Ivory out of the backfield, it would make this offense go a lot further than what we had the first 3 weeks. But I'd just like to say thank you for taking my call, and go Jags.
All right, I like it.
Thanks for the call.
One for me.
Of course you like it. He agreed with you.
So you don't think the runs matters one
bit?
No,
I do think it's important, Tony, and I thought they ran the ball well yesterday. I'm just saying, you can't consistently win in this league when your quarterback's throwing for 200 yards.
Unless you're Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay.
Oh, stop. Tony, he's thrown for 200 yards. Everybody thinks there's something major league wrong with him.
They win.
They win?
Crickets.
They win?
They're winning this year. Are they not? Did I miss something?
Well, they lost to the Vikings, didn't they?
They're 3-1.
So you think Aaron Rodgers throwing for 200 yards is a good thing?
That's not my point. My point is being balanced. I mean, we get so caught up in these statistics of, you know, 300 yards, like it means something, you know, or whatever. To me, it's the flow of the game.
And be effective.
And be effective, right, in what you're doing. I thought they were effective offensively. They scored 30 points. I mean, 30 points, Pete. That's a lot of points. I mean, you scored 30 points in the NFL. That's good.
That is good.
I'm not going to get caught up in the numbers. And for you to say they can't consistently win, I'll say this. Forget about how many yards Blake threw for. They can consistently win scoring 30 points.
Well, I mean, if the defense keeps them point blank if opportunities, then
they had one short field.
That's
one.
Seven of the points. That's okay. Seven of the points.
It happens all the time in this league, Pete.
I agree.
If you score 30 points, you can consistently win. Let's focus on that, not whether Blake had 300 yards or not.
I didn't think it was a great game by quarterback. I just thought it was average.
I never said it was a great game. I thought it was pretty good. There's a lot of room for improvement. But you're so hung up on these quarterback numbers of 300 yards. I just think you're wrong.
That's not what I'm hung up on. I don't think it needs to be 300. It just needs to be more deep balls down the field, more aggressiveness in that area. That was a manage the game quarterbacking is what that was yesterday.
Well, they needed some
Would
of that,
agree?
Pete. They needed a little of that because it was erratic.
You know how many 20-plus passing plays they have this year?
How many?
13, which isn't bad. But you know how many 40-plus plays they have?
Not many.
One.
The one from Hearns yesterday. And that was like a 5-yard route, wasn't it? Like 10 yards. That was short.
It was a 10-yard out that he turned in.
Right. Right, but they have
which happens all the time, by the way.
Right, and there was Arizona doesn't have many this year, and one of them was a screen pass to David. They have two, and one of them was a screen pass to David Johnson. But in 2015, Tony, you're talking about an entirely different animal now. You're talking about Bortles. How many 40-plus pass plays do you think he had last year?
A lot. He had one of the highest, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he had 11. So he had one in four games, and he had 11 in 16 last year. So it's, you know, he's way behind the pace. So he's got to pick that up. They got to get more of those.
Hey, does Green Bay play tonight?
No, they're bye. They got a bye this week. Yeah.
A fourth week bye. Ooh.
Them and the Eagles, both. Yeah, they're early. Both off. Hmm. Yeah, it's really early.
So far, the Aaron Rodgers this year.
He's looking up Rodgers' stats.
He's thrown for 200 in each game.
199, 213, 205.
Hmm.
Right. And he won one and lost two, and won two and lost one.
Yeah, the one with the Vikings was like 17-15 or something. It was like it was the Bradford game, right?
Which, by the way, is a really good team.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Vikings have a really good defense. I mean, we'll see them when we talk a little bit about the game tonight. But, Tony, he threw for, I think if I'm not mistaken, he threw for 200 in the first half against the Lions, and he took the foot off the pedal. It was 30-7. He threw four touchdowns in that game. You're going to compare that game to what Bortles did yesterday? Stop it. You know better than that.
Are you still looking up stats? What are you doing
right now,
Tony? Yeah,
I'm looking up more
stats here. Jeez. He's like nose to the phone.
Yeah, I'm working
here.
Working, Pete. Do we have more calls or no?
Not right now. No. 355 NFL 1. 355.
Well, the Falcons are 3-1, and Matt Ryan threw for 503 yesterday.
Yeah, but that's an anomaly. How about that? The fact that Julio had 300 yards is crazy. I mean, just nuts.
You know, that's why everybody was, you know, we were all in here talking about that game, and everybody saying, well, look, Julio's close to the record. Julio's close to the record. You know, Flipper Anderson had, what, 336 or whatever it was. And he's close to the record. I'm going, forget that. Matt Ryan's close to the Norm Van Brocklin's record. You know, the all-time passing record is something that was set in the 50s or 40s or whatever
and
it was.
And what was it, Pete?
554.
It's amazing
we
haven't
seen
that.
You think that would be something that would be – don't you think that would
be
something?
In today's NFL, the way the rules are set up, you definitely would think that would be set.
Yeah, Drew Brees would have that, you would think. Somebody like that.
And he threw for 503, and he wasn't even – you know, unless he got the ball back late and he had to do something, they weren't even going to sniff that. It's amazing.
Wow. How about that? We'll go around the league coming up as well. By the way, where are all the people that were calling for Gus's head?
Awful quiet. Awful quiet.
Well, that's what happens. That's what happens on radio. When the team wins, they'll call. When the team loses, they want to call for his head.
So are you saying that basically only miserable people call radio shows?
Pretty much. No.
Pete said it, not me, folks.
By the way, he wasn't getting fired anyways.
Why do you say that, Pete? I don't think he was either.
I just don't think he was. I think it was one of those situations where Shad was going to let it play out during the season. And one of the theories is, in my theory anyways, is if you bring a new guy on, we said that last week, what if they fired him and Marone came on or somebody came on and they won seven games? Then you're almost stuck keeping that guy where you might not want him. You want your guy. You know, I'm sure in the back of Dave Caldwell's mind, he has a guy that if it doesn't work out with Gus, he wants to go get, right? So, and I'm not sure it would be Doug Marone. So, I don't – just let it play out. And, oh, by the way, you're in a crappy division. Had Tennessee won yesterday, and they were in that game, then you're right in the race, as bad as you've been in the first couple weeks.
Well, I think we all forget that when you looked at this schedule, the first four games arguably are some of your toughest games. At least the quarterbacks you were playing early. And the worry was, with the defense and everything else, how would you hold up? I mean, you look at the next four. Tom Coughlin always looked at the season, and this is how I do it, just because – and I did. It's amazing what you do if you're with someone long enough. Like the undue influence, whether you want it or not, they have on you. And so everything was talked about when Tom was a coach is you broke the season into quarters. So the Jaguars just finished the first quarter of the season.
That's right. Because there are 16 games and four. That's a quarter.
Very well done, JP.
Thanks.
Which is, by the way, before I get you get to that, Tony, you know, one of the things that Coughlin always told me was you want your average age of your roster to be 26, so that's always stuck with me.
Yeah, it's amazing how those things just and whether they're true or not, I have no idea, but it is what it is. So the next four, you have the Bears. Not a very good team.
Nope.
The Raiders, very similar to this team. Very similar.
Although they're 3-1.
I don't disagree. But would you not agree similar as far as
– Yeah. Their quarterback's playing a little better, although he only threw for a buck 99 yesterday too. But, yeah.
And they got to come – I mean, advantage Jaguars.
But they're already, how about this, though? They're already 3-1 in the in 1 o'clock window, East Coast window. So that's pretty impressive so far because they won 3 road games.
Taking nothing away from them.
Okay.
So, but, you know, the Titans.
On a Thursday night.
And the Chiefs. Chiefs just got, I mean, tough place to play. But the one thing I guarantee about that Chiefs game, it's going to be close. Because every game with the Chiefs, because to Pete's point, they're not an explosive team, so everything they play is close. Correct, Pete?
Yeah, and the two tough games coming that are left, the really tough games, are at home.
But I'm just saying, those are your next four.
Right, but they got to come out of those four 3-1.
3-1.
There you go.
Right.
And guess what?
And if you sit there at 500 going into the second half, where you then go to the Texans and the Lions, who aren't very good, and the Bills.
Then you got the Broncos and Vikings.
The Broncos and Vikings are two really good football teams.
You got to go to the Texans. That's a that three-game span will decide if they're going to be any good or not, I think. They got to go. They have the Broncos at home, the Vikings at home, and then at the Texans.
If you can find a way to go 2-1 in that three-game stretch, pretty good. But I'm just saying, they're 1-3 right now. I know it's not where any of us expected or wanted, or really where they should be, frankly. But to get into the bye with a win against the Colts gives you a chance down the stretch with the last 12.
Let's go back to the phone lines. 355-NFL-1. Paul in Mandarin is with us tonight. Paul, what's up?
Yes, I just wanted to comment on the game yesterday and to amplify some of the comments Tony was talking about the corners. I'm so happy that Colvin is going to be back because I was begging yesterday for Prince to be on the field and them to bench House.
So you're basically saying you're ready for Colvin to be back because you don't like House?
I don't like House. I don't like the way he plays. I don't like the way he plays football.
What don't you like about the way he plays? And I'll give you my thoughts.
I think, you know, that he does not play by the rules and tries to think that he get away with the rules by, you know, the little grabbing and stuff he was doing yesterday. And obviously, it seems like the referee has it in for him because they're keeping a close eye on him. He has developed a reputation for not being a clean football player.
I don't know if that's his reputation or not. I thought one of the pass interferences was obvious and was a good call. I thought the second one was atrocious.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't think it was a penalty. And while we're on the topic, I think the officials, I don't understand the call on Cyprian and then not making the same call on Allen Robinson.
Yes, I agree with that too. And we've seen that from, you know, the game again in Green Bay. It was the same way. The Ravens game, it was the same way. I don't know what's going on, but it's like Allen Robinson is not getting those calls. And someone is saying, well, you have to be, you know, you have to be the Dez Bryant or you have to be the, you know, the Antonio Brown before you could get those calls. And I think he has already proven that he's up there with those receivers.
Well, thank you for the call. About Devon House, look, I don't think he's been playing great football. I thought last year at times he did.
Had a lot of pass breakups last year.
That's what I'm saying. At times he played very well.
Two-pick game against Baltimore.
I've not seen the urgency out of him like I saw last year.
He held on the one play early on. He grabbed the jersey.
Yeah, that's what I said. It was awful.
Yeah.
But the second one where they called, I'm still looking for the interference because I've watched it multiple times.
Yeah, I didn't think that was interference either.
And did you? And what about the one that they called on Sip, which was a bang-bang play, much closer? I looked at it slow motion last night.
Yeah, it looked like it was interference.
And you're going to call that. But how do you not call Vontae Davis basically tackling Allen Robinson as he tries to come back for the football?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can do that in every game, though, Tony. I mean, it goes around, it goes all the way around.
But be consistent. I think it. Either don't call either of them or call both of them. I'm fine.
On the play that Cipri got called for pass interference, I'm not sure the ball would have reached him.
That's why I didn't. I thought it was one you didn't have to call. I understood why they called it, but I didn't think you had to call it.
It was a bad throw.
And if you're going to call that, you have to call the one when Vontae Davis did not allow Allen Robinson to come back to the ball.
Tony, are the Colts a bad football team?
Yes.
I tend to agree with you. That roster's not very good.
And they've got, in fairness to them, they're really beat up at the offensive line. They started three rookies. The center is going to be a really good player. Ryan Kelly, he is the kid out of Alabama. He's a good player.
Roll Tide.
But yeah, they're starting a guy out of North Dakota State at right tackle who's a guard, and a seventh-round pick out of Iowa who's a little – not very big, who got drafted to the center and had to start a guard. I mean, they're not – the backfield, Frank Gore is still a good player, but he's up there in age. You're going to have to do something there. They don't have another running back on that roster.
The pass rush is atrocious.
They don't have anyone who can rush the passer. They're not great at stopping the run. They have some really nice weapons, especially when Moncrief comes back, because they have Philip Dorsett, T.Y. Hilton, and Moncrief. Obviously, you have Andrew Luck, but you can't protect him. Dwayne Allen's a really good player. So they have some nice pieces, but the foundation, which is the offense and defensive line, I don't think are any good.
Yeah, and Langford's not bad.
He's okay.
Yeah, but you know, the problem is that you got a 35-year-old guy as your lead pass rusher. That's a problem. I mean, he's you know, it's okay if he was a complimentary piece, but he's the number one guy.
I don't think he's the number one anymore. I think it's Eric Walden.
You do? I don't even think he's a great pass rusher.
He's better than Robert Mathis.
But, you know, then the secondary, they've been banged up all year.
Injuries have hurt them there.
But they're not good. I mean, you think they're going to push for that title? I mean,
no.
Right now it looks like Houston's running away with the division.
I don't think
that. Don't we got to rank the division?
We'll do that. We'll do that in the next segment.
I don't think. I do not think Houston will run away with the division, though.
No, if you would have seen Brock Osweiler throwing balls to people in their stomach yesterday, you wouldn't have thought that. That's for sure.
He played well?
No. He makes some. He's one of those quarterbacks, Tony, that he makes great throws, and then he'll make this maddening throw when the guy's covered, throw it right in his stomach. Just terrible.
Is he a franchise quarterback, Pete?
I don't think so.
Let's get a couple more
calls. There are people now that wonder if Bortles is a franchise quarterback.
Right, that topic has come up last week, right?
I think he is. I'm still a believer.
I think he needed a game like yesterday just to kind of get him going. The motion is still way out of whack. I don't care. He could deny that all he wants, and he talked about it last week. I saw there was some people asking about his motion. His motion from this year to last year is entirely different. It's winding up, and his feet get – it's just weird. He's got a – it's a weird – he pats the – it's just the entire thing is way too long, way too long.
Okay.
You early on you fought me on it. Now you don't fight me on it because you agree with me.
I don't agree with you. I'm not.
You don't agree with me that motion is different than it was a year.
I'm not saying it is or isn't, Pete, is my point. It could be. At times it looks different. At times it looks the exact same. And then I go back and I ask myself, how many times have I done a split box of looking at both motions side by side and really studying it? And the answer to that no, you haven't. It's zero.
Yes,
you
I did.
Not.
I went back
no.
and
– No,
yes, I did. I got screen grabs I could show you. Yes, I did.
No,
I went
didn't.
Back and watched his Tampa game last year, and his two touchdown passes that he threw in Tampa, the motion was far less pronounced than it is now.
You took small sample sizes. The one thing that I do agree, I think it's inconsistent. But was it inconsistent last year and we just didn't recognize it because he was making more big plays? I don't know that, Pete. I don't know.
It's longer, wider, slower, and uglier.
And he can't punt either, apparently, which we found out in the end zone.
I think his biggest issue the first 3 weeks, or at least the Baltimore game, I'll just stick with that game, because he didn't play that bad. He didn't play that bad in Green Bay.
No. But he's the kind of guy that, Tony, you're going to expect the motion to change from time to time because he's a gunslinger. It's going to get lower. It's going to get higher. But there's something fundamentally wrong with it. But you're right. It's not just the motion and everything else.
He was pressing.
Right.
He was trying.
I agree.
I don't think he was relaxed playing his style of football. That's why I don't worry about him running a little bit. That's who he is. He's going to be all over the place. He's going to scramble. I mean, he made some spin move yesterday. It was the most ridiculous.
Yeah, twice.
It was the most ridiculous spin move I've ever seen. He spun.
But he did
5 yards.
And out of the pocket.
But he spun 5 yards before
the
guy.
Out of the pocket.
It was awful.
Yeah, but
Tony, you know what?
He did it inside
laugh.
And out of the pocket. It was one time in the pocket he was spinning.
I know.
Spinning when he was...
I laugh. It's Blake. It's like, you know what? Go play. I think he's better when he just plays.
Right. I agree. He's got to, but he's got to stop pressing. And, you know, look, he's also got to get to the other side sometimes. I don't think this season more than ever, I don't think he's getting to the other side. Where there's opportunities on the other side, he's not getting there. And that could be a function of taking so many shots because he does get hit a lot.
He hasn't this year.
You know? No, but in his career he's been hit a lot.
Well, it's only the third year. But, yes, in his first 2 years he took a lot of hits. This year he has not got – I don't think any more.
Well, he's
got
to get to the other side because there are opportunities on the other side sometimes and he doesn't get to them.
One more phone call. Doug in Orange Park will close us out. Oh, Doug's gone. Doug, you left.
See you, Doug.
It's on you, Doug. So we'll take a timeout and come back and go around the National Football League. Our final segment with Pete Prisco coming up. We'll get the AFC South power rankings from Pete and Tony as well. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco, Jaguars Monday rolls along. We continue with our, well, we'll begin our look around the National Football
League. We're going to do the power rankings first.
Yeah, let's start with the AFC South. The Jaguars, of course, beat the Colts in London yesterday, 30-27. The Jags improved to 1-3. You did guarantee. Congratulations.
Thank you.
The Colts fall to 1-3. On the other side of the division, the Texans beat the Titans, 27-20 was the final. A key punt return, and Malarkey fired the special teams coordinator today in Tennessee. How about that?
Who was it?
Wait, Bobby April.
He fired Bobby April?
Yeah.
Bobby April was the defensive back coach at USC my freshman year.
Tony, long time ago. They had a punt return for a touchdown against him yesterday by Will Fuller, and that's why he fired him. But you know what that is? That's a guy grasping at straws trying to save his own hide. That's
so you fire a guy for a bad punt return? There had to be more than that, yeah. Pete.
Well, they've had some struggles on special teams as well. I mean, it's been a struggle. But still, 4 games in.
Yeah, what does that accomplish, firing the special team coach in the middle of the season?
Not a lot.
I don't like that. Unless there's a moral reason or just a complete disrespect by the coach to the head coach, assistant to the head coach, you don't fire a guy like that. That's chicken. I don't like that at all.
Well,
I mean, maybe there's more of a story to it, but if there's not,
I don't think so. Malarkey's next. He knows it's coming, too.
Does he make it past this year?
Heck no. No way. Got a new GM. He's going to bring his own guy in.
What he signed? Did he only sign like a 2-year deal, 3-year deal, maybe?
Yeah, remember he was hired, then the GM was hired. From Tampa, it's not his guy. He won't make it past this year. No.
Is it Malarkey's last job as a head coach?
Yes. Unless you go back in a time machine and you go back to the 1970s, somebody might hire him to play his outdated football style.
Exotic smash mouth.
Tell us how you really feel, Pete.
How about the power rankings? All right, Pete, you want to start with your AFC South power rankings?
Yeah,
I'll start from the bottom.
I'll start from the bottom up. I'll put Tennessee last. I'll put Indianapolis third. I'll put Jacksonville second. I'll put Houston first.
Might have it changed from last week. I said Houston was one, Jacksonville was two, Indy was three, and the Titans were four.
There you go. Identical power rankings.
It's a bad division, man. It's a bad division.
And in 2 weeks? 3 weeks, the Jags will be 3-3, and they'll be atop the power rankings.
Let me ask you this: does 7-9 win the division?
No.
No.
9 wins.
No, no way. Not with. I mean, you look at Houston's schedule; they're not getting to 9 wins.
You want to put money on? You want to put dinner on it?
That nine wins wins it. Yes.
Yeah. All right, I'll put dinner on it. You already owe me dinner, so it'll be double or nothing.
From what?
USC beat Arizona State this weekend.
We didn't bet on the game.
Yes, we have a standing annual bet.
No, it isn't. I wouldn't believe me. I would have taken. I would have picked that team for nothing. They're terrible.
You guys were 4-0.
I told you last week it's the worst 4-0 team I've ever seen in my entire life. Fire that guy. Get him out of there. Come on, Tony.
They were undefeated, Pete. What are you talking about?
They stink. They stink.
We laid the word on them, JP.
A win's a win, right?
The more I watch it, the more it angers me because I watch the SEC every week, and I just think of all those crappy towns that have tons of talent in it. Those towns are terrible. Auburn and Oxford and Knoxville.
Wait a second.
I mean, not Knoxville.
Knoxville's a great city.
Yeah. Not Knoxville. Auburn, Alabama.
What's wrong with
Oxford,
Tuscaloosa, man?
I've never been to
Tuscaloosa. Come on, JP.
I've never been.
What's wrong with you?
I've never been to Tuscaloosa.
It's a fantastic place.
I've been to Auburn once. It was, but barely. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it's out there.
Right. And Tuscaloosa's
Knoxville, okay. I will say, is a great city.
Knoxville. I've never been to Knoxville. I hear Knoxville's nice. But the rest of them.
What's wrong with Oxford, Gainesville's, man?
Gainesville's not a great town.
No, Gainesville. I mean.
So I see
like,
all these teams.
It's not like Tallahassee, Florida State, baby.
I see all these SEC teams loaded with players. And then you got this beautiful campus, the biggest cool school in the country, you know, from a student body perspective. Great weather, and they can't win. What the hell is wrong?
They don't have the right coach.
Yeah, either that or not paying enough, one or the other.
So are you making allegations that the SEC pays?
No, I'm making allegations that I want ASU to start paying. I hope they go on probation for a couple years.
I love that. Pete Frisco's awesome. So, all right, let's go around the National Football League and hit some of these games that happened yesterday. We mentioned the Falcons. Julio Jones, 300 yards. Matt Ryan with a big day. Falcons over the Panthers. And what's wrong in Carolina all of a sudden?
Yeah, I think the bigger story is not the Falcons because I'm still not a believer with that defense that they're going to hold up. But they might in the South, which I thought was a good division. Doesn't look so good right now. Saints are 1-3. Carolina's 1-3. And Tampa's 1-3. You talk about the AFC South. The NFC and the combined records of the six teams not in first place in either the AFC or NFC South is 6-18.
You know what the difference is, though, in those divisions? That division has quarterbacks all up and down that division.
Really?
NFC South.
It does.
Right? Breeze, Newton.
Okay. Newton's
Jameis.
Not playing very well. Jameis is not playing very well.
You got quarterbacks, though, right?
Okay. They you have Mariota, Bortles, Andrew Luck. And
Mariota's not playing very well. Bortles hasn't been playing very well. And Luck hasn't been playing very well.
Well, my point is, neither division's that good right now.
Both divisions stink.
The Panthers have major issues.
Well, you know what the Panthers have issues at, Tony? They have issues at three of the problem areas that you don't want to have issues at.
Pass rush.
Tackles. Their offensive tackles aren't very good, okay?
And they got better play out of them last year than anyone thought.
Right, they overachieved last year. The pass rush, you know how many sacks Coney Ealy and Charles Johnson have in four games? None. Zero. And remember, Coney Ealy had the breakout Super Bowl. He's going to be a star this year. Where is he? Where's Charles Johnson? That's a problem. And then your secondary is loaded with young players because normally they'd rush the passer and compensate for the secondary, but they can't do that anymore. They have issues. That team's not as good as you think it is.
Raiders are now 3-1. They rallied for a win over the Ravens, 28-27.
Yeah, I thought
keep Jack Del Rio down.
No, I thought they win. The Ravens were 3-0. They're not a 3-0 team. They should have lost to us. They very well could have lost to Cleveland and to Buffalo opening weekend. All three games were really, really close victories. I think the Raiders are pretty talented.
Did you see the mistake Harbaugh made in the game?
No.
I
was in London, Pete.
Well, it was like a third and five. No, it was a third down play, and it was incomplete, but there was a penalty, and they were on the fringe of field goal range, and there were a penalty late in the fourth quarter. There was a penalty, and he sent him back, and it made it third and 15 again, and they converted because he thought he pushed him out of field goal range. They went in and got the touchdown and went ahead, but he regretted that. He made a mistake. He said he should have kept him in fourth and five and let him kick the field goal. But, hey, hindsight's 20/20. But you're right. They're not very good. Give the Raiders credit, though. They've won three games in the Eastern time zone and 1 o'clock window, and that's impressive for a young team coming to the East.
Who have they beaten this year? They beat the Ravens.
Yeah, not good. They beat the Ravens. They beat the Titans, and they beat the Saints on the road and got whacked. Got beat at home by Atlanta.
So pretty easy start of their schedule.
And they got San Diego. Yeah, they haven't played the big. They got San Diego this week in Oakland.
And boy, San Diego's had issues. Yeah, holy cow.
Speaking
they've
of
blown three leads. They should be.
Yeah, especially the one this week where 34-28 deficit at one point, and Drew Brees rallied the troops there for the Saints.
No, it was 34-23, and they turned the ball over three times in the final six and a half minutes.
Unbelievable.
Fumbles, interceptions, what was it, Pete?
Fumbles. Melvin Gordon fumbled, Travis Benjamin fumbled. Bad.
Does Mike McCoy make it?
I mean, they could be, they could be 3-1 easily. I mean, they could be undefeated. They blew the game against – think about the games they blew. They blew the opener against Kansas City.
They should have won that game. I watched it.
They blew the game against the Colts. Remember, they hit the big pass late in the game. And then they blew a 13-point lead with 6 minutes to go yesterday at home.
They should be 3-1. The Colts beat them pretty – I mean, it wasn't a major comeback or anything. It was
they hit a long touchdown pass, it was fourth down.
Well, they were almost in – no, it wasn't fourth. I don't think it was fourth down, Pete. They were almost in
field. I thought it was fourth down.
No, I think it was – no, it was within the drive trying to get field goal range for Vinatieri.
Yeah, but that, I mean, they still blew the game.
My point is saying this. They had major leads in the other two losses.
Yeah, 13.
They should have won those two. They should have won those two games and be 3-1.
And they could be 4-0.
Let's hit a handful of these other few games before we got to get you out of here, Pete. Bills shut out the Patriots. Who wanted to fire Rex?
And then this week they go to the Rams and lose in Los Angeles. Watch. That's just who they are. Hey, look, they had a good performance yesterday. Played good. Brissett was a good. I mean, you know, Garoppolo couldn't play. They played Brissett. He wanted good. But that wasn't the concern if you're the Patriots was how your defense played that game. They didn't play very well. And they had played very well up until that point.
They only gave up 16, Pete.
Yeah, but they moved. They had the – it's like the Bills had the ball the entire game.
That's fine. I don't think it's a big deal at all. They gave up 16. The Jacoby Brissett doesn't surprise me. I picked the Patriots to win because I'm not still a believer in the Bills. But watching him play against the Texans, it's one thing to do it once because you can trick them and do different things when teams don't know what you're going to do and what the skill set of a guy is. Well, once you watch him on tape and you see what Jacoby Brissett is, now Rex Ryan and his staff can game plan to take away and force him to beat you with his arm, which the young man's not ready to do yet. So I wouldn't worry about that.
Well, he's gone now. Now Brady's back. So that's the
that's
end
my
of
point.
That's the end
of the who cares?
Pete, your boy.
I mean, if you're leaving, if you started this season and you're a Patriot fan or you're secretly in that organization talking amongst each other with no microphone around, and they would have said, we'll give you 3-1 right now without Tom Brady. You would have taken it and ran for the hills.
Right, but you would have thought they lost at Arizona and then won the next three instead of the way it played out. But
and
yeah.
And there's a team you just mentioned that's in trouble, Pete.
Big trouble.
The Arizona Cardinals, who a lot of people picked for their Super Bowl team in the NFC, is 1-3 and beat up and not playing good.
And the quarterback's not playing well, and he had a concussion, and they play Thursday night against San Francisco.
They've had all punts in the first quarter. Is that right this year? They haven't got anything done in the first quarter this year.
Well,
starting slow.
The quarterback, talk about a team that's not driving the ball down the field for a team that, you know, their identity is driving the ball down the field. Arizona, not doing it.
Can Drew Stanton get it done, Pete?
Blaine Gabbert's playing, so yes.
You didn't No, can he get it done? Can they win with him?
They can win this week with Drew Stanton because Blaine Gabbert's playing for the other team.
I see what you're saying. Right.
Yeah.
Monday Night Football tonight. What is going on here?
Good job.
You don't need Brian Sexton.
Oh, good job, Joe. Heck of a job.
What's going on?
What are you, jet lagged from London?
Eli Manning and the New York Football Giants at 2-1 visit the 3-0 Minnesota Vikings. No Teddy, no AP, no problem for Minnesota. Who you got tonight?
Great defense. I like Minnesota tonight.
I think Minnesota's going to beat the Giants. The defense is
8 sacks last week. They'll probably get 5 more this week.
And it's in Minnesota, right?
Yes.
That
it
place is going to be rocking. The defense is lights out. And I said it after AP got hurt. They'll have no issues at all if Sam Bradford plays at the level he's capable of, which he has so far. They're better off with a good Sam Bradford and name your running back than a bad quarterback or an average quarterback in a good AP.
I agree 100%.
But the run game.
Oh, no, the run game can be important. This is where Pete and I actually don't disagree that much if we really boil it down. I think you need to run the ball to be effective. But you have to have a quarterback who can make plays for you.
Yep, absolutely.
Because I just don't think with the way the rules are set up today, you can be just a run-heavy team unless you have a historical defense. And while I think Minnesota's a good defense, I'm not sure they're a historical defense.
Pete, have a great show tonight, and we'll talk to you
all
next
right,
week.
All right, fellas. We'll talk to you next week. Get some sleep, Buscelli. You need it.
Yeah, I'm tired. I'm not going to lie to you, boss. I'm tired.
A little sleepy. Tony Buscelli.
Short nap last night.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Tony and I will wrap up Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
PRI Productions is the Southeast premier full-service event company with everything you need to bring your next event to life. Visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. JP Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco's out of here. Final moment to Jaguars Monday. I've got to credit Allison from The Roar, who tweeted in tonight.
Okay.
And said the other Robin Thicke song that was played at Wembley was She's on Fire. Thank you, Allison.
And you looked that up and you couldn't find it online.
Couldn't find it because it's not his song. I think it's a remake. I think it was a remake. It was
isn't
somebody else's song.
Isn't that kind of cheating?
Oh, well, he's cheated before, apparently, on the other song. So, I don't know. Maybe so. So, here we go with the bye week. Gus Bradley speaking with the media tomorrow about 1:30. We'll have Jaguars.com live about 1:15. Leading into that and carry that live on the team website. Locker room will be open, I believe, a little bit, some availability tomorrow afternoon around 2:45 or so. And then the players are out of here. The coaches will probably be out of here after Wednesday. The bye week is early for the first time in a long time. That means a long stretch run here, Tony, down the stretch. 12 games left and no break after this week. Kind of early. Do you like it early or late? Doesn't matter.
I mean, I think I'd rather have it like week 8 or 9, kind of break up the season a little bit. But I think this comes at the right time for this team. Get a win, get back from London, you're a little beat up, get some rest, and the fact that they won, I think it's going to work out because they can go into the last 12 and say, you know what, this is where we stand. Rough start, got some momentum coming into the bye. Let's look at this as a 12-game season. And let's go play the way we played last week. Because if you get going sideways a little bit and you have a later bye, you don't get that anything to break it up, and you can kind of get maybe going downhill on you a little bit. So I think the timing's good for this team.
Yeah. 12 games left. Bears coming up out of the bye. Got some roster decisions to make, as we talked about earlier. Colvin's coming back. What's the real story on Jokel? We'll find out tomorrow officially from head coach Gus Bradley. And what do you do if it is the worst-case scenario? That's a question mark as well. And –
well, hey, tied in, too. You know,
yeah,
you had,
that also, yeah.
You got the hit pointer with did they say it was a hit pointer? Is that
hit
right?
Hit pointer, yes.
You'd think he'd be fine after the bye.
And then
Julius Thomas
with the elbow, right?
Elbow. Koyak, what's he have?
He cut on his knee, the meniscus.
Meniscus, so I don't know
like
how much.
He's down for a little bit, but he's still on the roster. So.
I mean, depending on if Koyak's not back after the bye, let's say he's not. You got to make a decision possibly of adding another tight end if Julius and Mercedes are only, you know, questionable or they're not 100%.
You know what I read today?
What did you read?
Clay Harbor was cut today. He's out there.
Cut from the New England Patriots, so
yes.
Maybe you bring him back.
Possible. Good veteran player, right?
Yeah, he's a move tight end. He gives you a lot of flexibility, good special teams guy. Can line up as fullback as well, good lead blocker. So maybe that's a guy you look at.
I mean, I'm not playing GM. I just saw that, and we were talking about tight ends.
Well, you did officially play GM on the radio by saying that.
Well, I guess I did. So, some decisions to come.
So, say, I'm playing GM, and I would sign him.
Well, there you go.
That's my
contribution. You wouldn't sign him?
I haven't thought about it.
It was a name that has been around, and why not? He's probably familiar with what's going on.
I thought he was a good player when he was here.
I thought so, too. That's a big place for this team. So, bye week, what do you got for the bye?
I'm going on a recruiting trip with my son.
Ah, where to? Or shall
I'll keep
nameless.
It quiet.
Oh.
Not my deal.
Okay.
Deal. But I'm going with him. Looking forward to it.
Have fun with that. I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm sure you'll find some people to hang out with.
I'll find something to do. That's a good problem to have. For Pete Prisco, Tony Buscelli, Joe Fortunato, Max Hockman, I'm JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.